Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. How is your Wednesday night going? It is February 23rd, 2022. Welcome to this edition of Wednesday Night Dawn-o-mite. I am Don Tony. We just had a very entertaining episode of AEW Dynamite. I mean, most Dynamite episodes are entertaining, but I don't know. You know, I think tonight with the promo exchanges between Jericho and Eddie Kingston, MJF, you know, I don't know how Plainview High School feels about MJF's promo. Might be true. Appears to be true. I don't know what that says. I expect the local newspaper over here, you know, to maybe get a little triggered over that. But, you know, some of the matches that we knew were going to happen in Revolution were confirmed tonight. We'll talk about that. We will also talk about, you know, I think some people didn't understand my thumbnail tonight about this. Hey, Cody, who's looking for a job now? I think a lot of people seem to forget about April 2021, which we will discuss in a few moments. We had a new signing to AEW tonight. Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy, gets his debut. You know what that means, everyone? More weeks that Jay Lethal will not be on Dynamite. Yeah, you could do a pre-recorded promo with Keith Lee. And you could do a little, throw a little, you know, nugget to Jay Lethal, and then he disappears for 4 weeks straight. And then once people start bitching online, oh, okay, Buddy Matthews, you take the backseat for 3 or 4 weeks. Because we got to put Jay Lethal on TV to shut everybody up, and the hits just keep on coming. Look, Buddy Matthews is definitely one of those wrestlers that you should sign. Absolutely should sign. Buddy Matthews is uber talented. The thing is that, you know, he's missing a little bit of a personality. I'm not saying that WWE did a good job or did a bad job, but, you know, just because you're a very talented wrestler doesn't necessarily mean that you could please the masses. You know, you might be able to please a few hundred thousand, you might be able to please a million, but do you please, you know, a $1 billion entertainment company? Some do, some don't. Got a few interesting things to talk about tonight. And, you know, before we go any further, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on, but don't forget, tomorrow, special start time, 8.05 p.m. It is happening, everyone. The Forbidden Door, the Forbidden Podcast. Yes, it is happening. Jason Solomonster will be joining me tomorrow at 8.05. I'm sure we will talk a little bit about Dynamite, the rating that comes out. You know, is the roster a little bit bloated? You know, is Tony Khan treating it like a Cracker Jack box? I'm sure we might have some differences of opinion. And you will need to tune in tomorrow if you want to help contribute to the show. So, but anyway, we got a few things to get into tonight, and I want to get this done rapido because I know tomorrow we got a big show coming. Before I go any further, a lot of you know that Brian Clark, who you knew as Adam Bomb when he used to wrestle, he's not, you know, he didn't pass. Unfortunately, somebody in his family passed. But, you know, you got to be careful when you talk about somebody's wrestling career as being in the past. But Brian Clark is a friend of the family, obviously. And, you know, we have wished him and his family well wishes in the past. For those that don't know, his mom passed away today. Actually, she passed away yesterday. Had a long battle with some health issues. I don't want to say what they are publicly, but I know that she was battling for quite some time, and I just wanted to send my condolences to him and his family. And if any of you out there would like to as well, you know, you could get him on social media. I know it'll mean a lot to him. And, you know how close I am with my mom. So this hits home for yours truly because, you know, one day, you know, we're all going to experience that. And, you know, I know that he is devastated right now. So I just wanted to send my thoughts and prayers to Brian Clark. So, okay. Let's, before we talk about Dynamite, let's open up with why I made this thumbnail. Pat McAfee, you know, a lot of people think he's like the Joe Rogan of sports podcast wrestling. He has a massive, massive audience. And, you know, he does talk about, you know, pro wrestling outside of WWE once in a blue moon. And the subject of Cody Rhodes came up. Now, I did find out that it was okay for me to stream a little clip. I will tell you, I thought it was kind of cute by some AEW fans who cut the clip off at the 28-second mark. Because when the clips were floating around, before I even watched what Pat McAfee said, I noticed some clips were about a minute. Some were 28 seconds, 28 seconds, a minute, 27 seconds, a minute, 28 seconds. I said, oh, he must have said something, or somebody must have said something kind of nasty after the 28-second mark. It ended up having to do with Adam Cole. And obviously, if you're a huge AEW fan, you know, making fun of Adam Cole is, you know, not widely accepted. Look, I am a big fan of Adam Cole. I have defended Adam Cole to the moon. On this show, I am totally against the body shaming of him, not because I'm fat, but because, you know, you never know if there's an atrophy issue. You never know what it is. You know, not everybody has to have the 24, even the 20-inch pythons. But I got the video, and I want to share with you 59 seconds of what Pat McAfee said, and then I want to flashback a year ago, because a lot of people don't understand that there is a little bit of history between Cody Rhodes and Pat McAfee. This is what he said this week about Cody Rhodes. Nothing earth-shattering, but he all but pretty much confirms that he's on his way into WWE.
Go back a couple calls. I guess Cody Rhodes is coming to WWE.
Yeah, oh, really?
I guess. Who cares, dude? You know, him and his little friend started something. It was terrible. We actually went head-to-head with him on Wednesdays. We beat him a couple different times. Mm-hmm. Who cares? The hell with Cody Rhodes.
That's Brock and Roman.
Come on. Now people are going to think I'm starting an angle with Cody Rhodes. I'm actually pretty pumped if Cody's coming back. I obviously a massive name in sports entertainment. If he's coming to SmackDown, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, as long as that little fuck Adam Cole never comes.
Why would ever be invited?
Yeah, okay. He's done. He's dead.
Career's over. Just making sure.
Cody Rhodes could be cool, though, in WWE.
Be sweet.
Put him back in Stardust, huh? Put him in that.
Oh.
Seeing what he did at AEW and then seeing what he was doing in WWE, I could see why. He maybe wanted to, you know. But if he's back, he's back. I'm excited to be.
Yeah.
And Brock Lesnar is awesome.
Yeah. Him with the fan. That was yesterday.
Now, you see, I give Pat McAfee credit because he pretty much no-sold the remarks about Adam Cole. You know, Pat McAfee making a little bit of jokes in the beginning, but he's pretty stoked with Cody Rhodes if he goes to WWE. Now, for those that don't know a little bit of the history as to why a little bit of remarks and why I even, again, if you look at this thumbnail, what I'm about to show you, and yes, I did, Pat McAfee really was not wearing a Stardust shirt. I just tried to do a little photoshopping, you know, to make the thumbnail look pretty cute. But a year ago, and believe it or not, it's already about a year, we had Cody and Red Velvet team up against Jade Cargill and Shaq. Now, Shaq had done an interview before the match took place. And Shaq claimed that of all the celebrity wrestling matches, Shaq felt that his was going to top them all. So Pat McAfee was asked about that. And Pat McAfee, you know, I mean, again, this is why I think sometimes people need to actually hear what someone's quote is and not just take a little piece out of it to try and then take pot shots at it. But Pat McAfee, in talking about Shaq, he said that he is nowhere near the same human being as far as clout as Shaq goes. But Pat McAfee is very proud of what he did in the ring. Not only gets Adam Cole, but, you know, NXT War Games. And Pat McAfee has pride. He feels that his match was better. Now, Shaq's match had not gone down yet. But when someone had asked Pat McAfee, you know, what do you say about Shaq saying that his match is going to top all the other celebrities? You know, Pat McAfee says, I don't think so. Does anybody really have a problem with that? I mean, you want to take pride in your work. He busted his ass. Shout out to King of Games. I will get into your comments a little bit when we get to CM Punk. But Pat McAfee, you know, he's very proud of what he did. His match already went down when he made those comments. So anyway, Cody does a media scrum hyping up, I guess, Revolution for last year. And somebody asks Cody about, you know, Pat McAfee and his remark that he doesn't think that Shaq's match will top Pat. This is what Cody had to say. No video, it's just audio.
Well, I think, you know, I didn't see this particular comment, especially from Pat, which is super bizarre because just bizarre because I'm pretty sure Pat's trying to get a job at AEW like every other day, but that's another conversation. I like that Shaq made that comment. I stand by that comment myself. I'd make the same one.
Shaq made that comment. Cody stands by that comment. Pat McAfee made the same comment. Why is it bizarre for Pat McAfee to have that confidence? But it was very interesting at the time because look at Pat McAfee's status. I mean, look, it took me a long time to become a fan of Pat McAfee. But you go back a year and Cody making the claim that Pat McAfee's trying to get a job with AEW every other day. So Pat McAfee got wind of what Cody said, and this was Pat McAfee's response a year ago.
Cody Rhodes just said, I've been trying to get employed by the AEW or whatever every other day.
Yeah.
So I'd like that to be known. That is not true. Okay, I've actually contemplated retirement here more than I've ever contemplated going to AEW. I have been in a little bit of a spat here, though, with a couple AEW, not a couple, but a Rusev, old friend of ours, now Miro, kind of, you know, came after us, and then we kind of flipped the script on him a little bit. And Shaq, obviously, and I do have to watch that match tonight. But aside from that, I am not. I just would like to let that be very clear.
All right. So that's pretty much what went down in April of 2021. So now Pat McAfee makes the comments this week, and you have social media in a buzz. Pat McAfee shoots hard on Cody. Pat McAfee takes shots at Cody. And every single one of these places completely forgot about Cody making these wild claims last year that Pat McAfee was trying to get a job with AEW every other day. So I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny because this week it's felt so one-sided as far as everybody reporting this, but there is some history there. Now, look, they're professionals, and Cody ends up with WWE, and he meets up with Pat McAfee. It's, you know, it's not a big deal. But, you know, for people out there that thought that Pat was just taking digs this week at Cody Rhodes, no, there actually is a little bit of a history there. And I wanted to share with you, because if you go to a lot of other places, that aspect you would have not known if you didn't pay attention to it. A year ago, you know, some people paid attention. Most people did not. So there you go. So, you know, no big updates as far as Cody with WWE. You know, look, we got WrestleMania coming up. We don't know if Cody will have any involvement in WrestleMania. They may do it. Look, the night after WrestleMania is, I mean, before COVID was, in some people's views, even better than WrestleMania. You've had people make the claim in recent years that the night after WrestleMania felt even bigger than some WrestleManias. If I was WWE, if you're going to bring in Cody, night after WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw, that is where you do it, in my opinion. We just think outside the box. So, AEW tonight, let's get right into it with Dynamite. We opened up with the Battle Royale. Now, if you remember last week, we have Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defending the AEW tag titles at Revolution, and it's going to be a three-way dance. One of the tag teams that wins the Battle Royal tonight will be part of that three-way dance at Revolution. Next week is the Casino Battle Royale. Whoever wins that match next week will also be in the three-way at Revolution. So a team that lost tonight will likely be a team that wins next week. I don't think there's going to be any added teams next week that weren't in the matches tonight. Now, this little thumbnail is credited to AEW. I'm not that artistic yet to make a nice thumbnail like that, but we had the Young Bucks. We had 2.0, the Gun Club. We had the Dark Order, the Butcher, the Blades, Santana Ortiz, Best Friends, FTR, Private Party, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly, now known as Red Dragon. Those were your teams today. And before I even get into a couple of little tidbits on this, I know a lot of people are very annoyed that Santana and Ortiz were eliminated tonight. Especially with the storyline, the way it's gone, and the momentum that they seem to have. They were eliminated today, almost matter of fact. Next week, I don't think Santana and Ortiz win next week either. Will we have the Young Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz at Revolution with no titles on the line? That is a possibility. Personally, I mean, we don't know who's the third team's going to be yet, but it seems like the fans are into FTR and Santana and Ortiz more than anybody else. So who knows? Maybe FTR wins that slot next week. Maybe FTR takes on Santana and Ortiz at Revolution. But people asking my opinion on Santana and Ortiz, I look at it like this. They're not going to get a tag title shot again unless they win. That's how I look at it. You're not going to put, in my opinion, you're not going to put them in a match with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus unless Santana and Ortiz are winning those titles. Because after this whole storyline and all the build and the history, and, you know, them blaming on Jericho and the fans being a little bit disgruntled, you do not put them in that title picture unless they get a win. Now, I will say this. I don't know how patient fans are going to be with this. I mean, yeah, tonight, I think everybody will remember tonight for this little run-in by Rojo Bear. Much love, my friend. Thank you for the super chat, my brother. But, yeah, we had a little, we had some comedy fodder. And you know what? I got to say this. I have to say this. By the way, Colton Gunn, my God, tell me he doesn't look like Billy Gunn. Like old school, almost like before New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn. Holy shit, is he starting to look like his dad. Can I make two comments, an observation and a comment? First off, the random observation. I want to ask you all this question, and please answer it for me. And I'm not doing this as a ploy to get people post comments in the comment section. If you don't want to post a comment, don't post a comment. If you have a question after tonight's show, a follow-up question, post it in the comments, I'll answer it. But I really had an observation tonight that I was thinking about. I want to share with all of you, because I actually went on Twitter and I've not found anybody ask this question. Does AEW ever show an instant replay during Dynamite? I mean, I know they do it on pay-per-views, but do we ever see an instant replay? We might see a replay later on in the night from something that happened early in the night. Do we ever see an instant replay? We get a finisher, we get a run-in, we get a swerve, we get a screw job, we get this, we get that. I noticed we ever get an instant replay? Just observation. Now, I know someone will obviously post it on Twitter and get 5,000 likes tomorrow. After, especially Monday, with what I said about Doudrop and Nia Jax, that was pretty funny. What happened on Twitter, I mean, I take that as a badge of honor, but that's fucking funny what happened on Monday. But just that was an observation. Now, I want to make a comment. Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston knocked it out of the park tonight. I mean, they really sold me on that match going down at Revolution. But I got, honestly, let's take a step back for a minute. You look at all the comedy bullshit that AEW does. Some of it is entertaining. Some of it is asinine stupid. I mean, you look at from Cutlet to when they had all the crazy run-ins with Kenny Omega. You know, when people used to get angry at me and I said, Kenny Omega's turned into a sports entertainer. When Eddie Kingston tonight is saying, we're not a sports entertainment company. And then you could tell that the bullet points was sent to the commentators that Jim Ross at the end of the night that, you know, this is a pro wrestling company. No, motherfuckers, you are a sports entertainment company as well. You do focus more on the match quality and the match ratings, but they're a fucking sports entertainment company like anything else. Sometimes they are worse than a sports entertainment company. Because at least the sports entertainment company is an episodic storyline that goes on and on and on. You see some of the shit that goes down. That's sports entertainment. Don't if they, and I'm only bringing this up because if Tony Khan's latest mindset is, let's instill that we're a pro wrestling company, not a sports entertainment company. Oh, no, no, no. When Ring of Honor did that in 2002, it was believable. We'll show respect. We hold the ring ropes. We do this. We do that. And then they realized very, very soon, oh, no, we can't do that. We're really like, and then what they, matches without honor, you know, unsanctioned, this and that. That's how you get to be dishonorable, but be honorable. We're honorable, but that we will not sanction, but you still have it happen anyway. So if I was AEW, because a lot of people won't pick up on that, but I picked up on that today, you know, they're forcing that they're not a sports entertainment company. They are very much a sports entertainment company. Are you fucking kidding me? With all the comedy shit that goes on and some of the wackiness, they're a sports entertainment company. Oh, my God. So anyway, we have the Battle Royal opening up. And I got to be honest with you. The end of the match I enjoyed. But a lot of the singular moments, that Battle Royal was best served to the live audience. The live audience that if you're sitting in this section of the crowd, you can't see straight ahead of what's going on over here. If you're over here and something is happening, you really can't see it. You might be able to look on the screen, the Titantron a little bit, but you really don't get like a real good bird's eye view. If you're on this side and something happens here, you know, you don't get to see every little incidental on TV, though. You see everything. And we had the Blade eliminate Alex Reynolds. And the Blade is standing there. And he's standing there. And he's flexing, standing there. So what happens after about 12 seconds of that shit? John Silver just throws him over the top rope. I mean, so choreographed and so goofy. But because, like I said, you watching it live, there's so many different things going on, and you look at your vantage point, you don't notice because we're looking at home at the hard camera. And here is the Blade right in our face going like this. Anybody get eliminated yet? Anybody get eliminated yet? So he gets eliminated. Austin Gunn accidentally eliminates Colton. So what does Austin Gunn do? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Extended apologies. I'm sorry. The 12-inch version, he gets eliminated by Santana. And we're watching this all on the hard camera, and you could see all this setup. It, you know, just a little goofy. Best Friends eliminate the Butcher. No reaction whatsoever. Private Party, both get eliminated. Matt Hardy just walks away. Now, I don't want to talk too much tonight about Jeff Hardy, but there is a podcast that has like 300 subscribers. And I thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. This fit wrestling fan interviewed Jeff Hardy a couple of days ago. And Jeff Hardy all but confirmed that he is part of AEW. So it'll be, people will catch on to it in the next day or two. I haven't watched it yet, so I don't want to spend much time on it. But a few people who I trust said to me, yeah, DT, he pretty much, and they thought it was cool that, you know, he just told, you know, regular fan. And that goes with what we said. When Jeff Hardy walked out of that WWE match, well, you got Mike Jones, who's in no condition. He looked out of it. He looked like he was a mess. No, we thought that mentally that he was done and he wanted to walk out into the crowd, into anonymity, you know, and be with regular fans. And here, once again, Jeff Hardy could have broke this story to Sports Illustrated, could have broke it to people, could have broke it to all these blue check marks. No, he does a podcast with a fan that has 300 subscribers. It's pretty much confirms it. That's cool. That is freaking cool. So I expect to see Private Party versus the Hardys very, very soon. Ortiz attacked by 2.0, and Santana ultimately eliminates both of them. The Young Bucks eliminate Ortiz to loud boos. They tease a little bit of FTR versus the Young Bucks, and the crowd wanted to see it, but we have Bobby Fischer, Kyle O'Reilly attack FTR. And we go to commercial break. We come back a little bit later on, and now it's down to Trent, John Silver, Santana, the Young Bucks, FTR, Bobby Fischer, and Kyle O'Reilly. FTR eliminate Nick Jackson. Trent, here's another one. Trent suplexes Bobby Fish all the way in the right side corner turnbuckle. Bobby Fish gets up and just falls backwards to the opposite side of the ring on the middle rope with his arms draped against the ropes. So what happens? Trent clotheslines him over the top rope. So goddamn choreographed him. Oh, I have a complaint in a moment. I have a feeling a lot of you felt the same way about Bobby Fish tonight. So Bobby Fish gets eliminated. So now we have another stupid moment where Cash Wheeler and Tully Blanchard are trying to pull John Silva over the top rope. Tully Blanchard's on the floor and he's trying to help Cash. So what happens? John Silva blocks it. He starts throwing Cash over the top rope. So what does Tully Blanchard do? He runs out of the way so Cash could fall to the floor. Stupid. So like I said, if you're live in the crowd, these little things you don't see that clearly unless it's right in front of your face. But at home, you see every little aspect of that. So now we're down to John Silver, Kyle O'Reilly, Dax Harwood, Matt Jackson, Santana, and Trent Barretta. Santana and Trent, here's another stupid move. They're on the outside, standing on the apron. Remember that spot? Santana and Trent teasing that they're going to suplex each other. They're standing outside the apron, outside the ring, the ropes, on the apron. Go back and watch it. Every time Trent tried to suplex Santana and Santana blocked it, Trent, looking in the corner of his eye at Matt Jackson. Santana, because he obviously is much more of a ring general, he doesn't do that. He doesn't make it obvious. So they're teasing back and forth, back and forth. What happens ultimately? You get Matt Jackson and Kyle O'Reilly charge both Santana and Trent, knock them off of the apron. They fall to the floor. I mean, it just was not good. Not good at all. So now we're down to Matt Jackson, Dax Harwood, John Silver, and Kyle O'Reilly. Bobby Fish, who was eliminated, was still outside the ring, and Bobby Fish helped Kyle O'Reilly eliminate Dax. John Silver attempts a suplex to Kyle O'Reilly, but Matt Jackson hits him with a super kick. Matt eliminates John Silver, but Kyle O'Reilly immediately after eliminates Matt Jackson. So Kyle O'Reilly wins, and as a result, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly are in the match at Revolution. So after the match is over, the Young Bucks are back in the ring, and they're arguing a little bit with Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Hangman Page's music hits. Hangman Page attacks Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. Young Bucks get out of Dodge. They let him do what he wants to do. Adam Cole comes out and tries to attack Hangman Page, but Page gets the upper hand, and before he could hit the Buckshot Lariat, you had Red Dragon pull Cole out of the ring. John Silver comes back, and he's standing there, and you know, there's a chair there, and Hangman Page sits in the middle of the ring, and it's story time with Hangman Page. Jesus Christ, cut Bobby Fish's fucking microphone. He didn't have a mic, but the surrounding mic, when someone is in the ring cutting a promo where all eyes should be on him, every time Hangman Page said something, Bobby Fish is yelling back and we hear every word that he's saying. And in the beginning, it sounded like 16-year-olds yelling at each other. You remember that whole thing with Sasha Banks and Bianca arguing over Reggie? You know, it's because of, you let him on. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. So what happens today? Hangman Page puts a chair in the middle of the ring. Story time with Hangman Page, like a 16-year-old, Bobby Fish. That's Adam's segment. That's not yours. It's Adam's. Adam does storyline. Shut the fuck up. We're not supposed to hear the outside people yelling. We're supposed to be focused on Hangman Page. Every time Hangman Page made a statement, blah, 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 Bobby Fish, yeah, you're not right. I don't think so. Yeah, there's a, every single time. What the fuck? What the hell was that? You don't ever do that. When someone makes a remark, when someone is having a confrontation, and I'm not saying it's just WWE, you look at any promotion, somebody has the microphone and they're making fun of someone in the ring, outside the ring, cutting a promo on someone, you don't ever hear the other person unless they have a microphone. What you see them do is this. You have last week, all right, Bobby Lashley, before Elimination Chamber, he starts addressing Austin Theory and Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. Bobby Lashley made fun of Austin Theory. You didn't hear Austin Theory going, no, Bobby, I don't think. No, you saw Austin Theory go like this. Oh, my God. What the fuck were they thinking about that with Bobby Fish? Everything. And Bobby Fish, I'm a fan of his. But he ain't that smooth on the mic. It was so annoying. Oh, it was bad. It was bad. So what ends up happening, we find out next week, we're getting a six-man tag match. John Silver, Alex Reynolds, and Hangman Page against Red Dragon and Adam Cole. Nice. Fine. So Hangman Page tells Adam Cole, little story time. He talks about how Adam Cole had titles everywhere he went, and he decided to come where his friends are to try to win the AEW championship. And here's Bobby Fish. That's right. He's going to be in the next AEW. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Oh, my God. Then basically, Hangman Page says that Cole will get the Buckshot Lariat and the sound will go boom. God. We get an interview with Bryan Danielson. He's going to be taking on Daniel Garcia later on in the night. Bryan Danielson says that Daniel Garcia reminds him of a younger version of him. Bryan Danielson name drops William Regal to no response whatsoever. I mean, I don't know what the crowd, maybe they didn't hear it, but he says, you know, I was brought up by my mentor was William Regal. Daniel Garcia is with 2.0. What's up with that? So Bryan Danielson brings up Moxley. He will have an answer for Moxley later on in the night. So now we get story time with MJF. He tells a story about making the Plainview High School anti-Semitic football team. That's pretty much the storyline. Then MJF, when he was 13 years old in 2007, had ADD, attention deficit disorder. Every day school was hell. The Jew boy, the Jew kid, the Jew boy. That's what it was, the Jew boy. That he was, he's basically calling Plainview High School anti-Semitic. That he was bullied because he was Jewish. The only thing he was good at was football, made the team. And the next day, the entire football team had rolls of quarters. And instead of being happy that he made the team, they threw those rolls of quarters. They said, let's get the Jew boy. I mean, you have heard me say repeatedly that some of the greatest promos that we have watched in recent memory is based on real life. I talked about Eddie Kingston's promos when he was in NWA. We talked about Homicide's promo. Hell, we talked about Heath Slater's promo when he came back that one night for WWE when Drew McIntyre was champion. We've seen, when you hear real life promos, Santana cut promos, when you base it on real life, because it's not choreographed and because it's coming from here, it really does hit a nerve and it's very powerful. MJF cut the promo of his career tonight. And do I believe that what he said could very well be true? Yeah, because as low as MJF may get, you know, making fun of fans or acting the way he does outside of wrestling, to make the claim that Plainview High School's football team and the school was anti-Semitic is something that, how do you even go to that school? It's, no, it's just a storyline. So as a wrestling fan, I love this fucking promo. But there's a reason why some things are not brought up in wrestling. And basically what they did was they call it shoot, you know, part shoot, part work. Basically football, MJF was good at. And the way he was treated, he wanted to meet CM Punk. And this is where it turns into storyline. You know, after I was assaulted with rolls of quarters by the football team saying, let's get the Jew boy. Yeah, he kept throwing that out there. All he could think about was meeting CM Punk. And he met CM Punk. And that cheered him up, meeting CM Punk. He passed up scholarship opportunities to pursue professional wrestling. All he wanted to do was be just like CM Punk. But in January 2014, when MJF needed CM Punk the most, he left. He left. So MJF decided he wanted to be a wrestler in spite of CM Punk. And at Revolution, MJF may be choked out. He might bleed buckets, but he'll never quit because he is better than CM Punk. Again, if you get really raw and personal about some really horrible experiences in life, you usually will strike a nerve because people are not going to laugh at that. As funny as somebody may be, as much of a heel as somebody may be, you talk about a real life. I actually, you know, one of the most moronic things I saw tonight, one of the dumbest things I ever saw tonight, I saw wrestling news sites reporting that MJF cut a babyface promo. I'm sorry. Getting the shit knocked out of you because you're a black person and you tell a story about it is not a babyface promo. Having rolls of quarters thrown at you because you're Jewish and because you tell everybody, it's not a babyface promo. Being a victim of racism, anti-Semitism, bullying, harassment, violence is not a babyface promo. Because it's sympathetic, they think it's babyface. They don't have a fucking clue. Again, I loved his promo because it felt real. And when pro wrestling feels real, that's when it's its finest. When that suspension of disbelief is so clouded, that you don't know where this is the reality ends and the storyline begins, that's where wrestling is at its best. When you really believe that two people hate each other and are going to tear each other apart, that's when pro wrestling is at its best. That's why it angered me so much when they did Stadium Stampede. And then that fucking dickhead, that former coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't remember his name. I think his name was Douchebag. He posts a picture on social media of them watching the pre-recorded first half of it on a monitor. And here is MJF standing right next to Chris Jericho. Of course I know it's entertainment. I don't need to see it in front of my fucking eyes. If I go to see a horror film and I think that somebody is truly being killed, I don't need to see a still shot frame of the actor, the killer, and the victim having brewskis in the back watching, you know, what they just did. So CM Punk comes out there and MJF is just standing there, stoic. And CM Punk looks at MJF and says, "Is that real?" MJF said, "Yeah," and he walked out of the ring. CM Punk feeling confused. Now look, let's be honest. In my opinion, and I have a feeling I'm going to be right on this one, in my opinion, even if this story is real, even if what MJF said is real, he has to come out there next week and say it wasn't. It's all a setup for CM Punk. It's all a swerve. It's got to be. Because like I said, you know, accusing a school, and look, I live 15, 20 minutes away from Plainview High School. Accusing a, and let me also say this, I know newspapers are really not the thing anymore for anybody, you know, but these newspapers locally have done a lot of articles on MJF over the years as the hometown hero. Even just for attention to paper, you're going to have newspapers that are going to make, they're going to say that they accuse Plainview High School of being anti-Semitic. So this has got to turn into complete storyline. Even if the story was true, I can guarantee you that, because if they don't, you watch some of the uproar. And even though you, I, and everybody else out there could tell them until they're blue in the face, oh no, this is entertainment. This is entertainment. Yes, I agree, Mike. MJF was awesome on the mic tonight. But at what price? It's dangerous. That's dangerous. We like dangerous. Let's be honest. We like dangerous. But I didn't say, Benjamin, do not put words in my mouth. I didn't say that MJF is going to admit that it was all made up. Like I said, in storyline, he likely has to say that it was all made up, because some people here are going to take it very, very seriously. Very seriously. Especially if a high school football coach is still part of the school or he works at another school. Oh, people will turn it into something that it's not. So in storyline, he may be forced to say it was all made up. Deep down inside, you know, for people that are asking me right now, do I think what he said is true? I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. I mean, you know, almost every one of us out there has been made fun of because of nationality. I mean, I told the stories about me and as an Italian. And I've said this in my personal stories. I know some people don't like it, but, you know, when I was in my 20s, the nationality, the group of people that treated me racist, Jewish people. I dated a Jewish woman. I told the stories. I went over their house for Thanksgiving, making fun of me that they didn't have lasagna, Prince Spaghetti Day. You know, making fun of certain things. I worked for a Jewish deli. I told the stories about Ben's Best, that customers would come in. You know, we'd like Alfred to slice. You know, can I have Alfred handle me? And at first I thought, oh, well, maybe Alfred is their, his regular customer, you know, the person for, and then the owner pulled me aside. He's like, Anthony, you know, I got to warn you about something. You know, some people here, you know, they may not want you to handle their cold cuts because it's a Jewish deli and this and that. But again, this is 1990. It was 1990, so at that time, you got Goodfellas, you got John Gotti, you got a lot of Italian stereotypes, so I don't blame anybody anymore. But, you know, I could see where that could happen to anybody out there. Could happen. You know, for me, you know, I didn't take it like, oh, they're racist. I'm offended. You're devastated. I was just like, you're a dick. What a dick. The fuck? Something wrong with my hands? I wash my hands after I pee, you know? Anyway, so that was, I think tonight probably would be most remembered for the two promos. So now we get, okay, you know, it was all right. All right, now last week we talked about Penta was going to be going dark. Penta Oscuro. Now, I thought it was pretty cool to see even Alex Abrahantes, you know, to me almost looked like, who's that character from the Addams Family? You know, was it Lurch? I don't know. But I don't know. He actually, it looked pretty good. I thought this picture that somebody posted online was pretty freaking cool. I did find it funny that somebody who was going so dark wins with a fruit roll-up, with all due offense, with all due respect. He won with a fruit roll-up. So we have one cool spot early in the match where Penta was on Pac's shoulders. And Brody King chops Pac. So Pac falls backwards and literally dumps Penta on his head. Brody with a tope suicida outside the ring onto Penta. Towards the end of the match, Malachi Black has the black mist in his mouth. And because we're supposed to believe that it's very, very toxic, Penta gets him to swallow it. So Malachi is acting like he's choking on it and everything. So what ends up happening, Penta gets the fruit roll-up for the win. After the match is over, there's a complete beatdown by Malachi and Brody King. Honestly, the beatdown did not go over well with the fans. What happened afterwards went well. Basically, Malachi Black brings a shovel in the ring. Penta is laid out on the in the middle of the ring. He puts the shovel over, I guess, like the chest of Penta. Then he lifts it up as if he's going to just stab Penta with it. They don't have special effects that good. The lights go out. When they come back on, Buddy Matthews is in the ring. Now, we knew that Buddy was going to be joining the House of Black. But for a few seconds, they're teasing it. He's looking at the House of Black. He's looking at Pac. He's looking back and forth. Ultimately, he attacks Pac, and all three of them just beat the crap out of Pac and Penta. Towards the end of it, Malachi is basically, you know, like slapping him in the face, you know, telling him, you got to do this to Penta. And basically, they had a chair in the ring, and Buddy Matthews spikes Penta into the chair, knocks him out. So this is how they came across in the ring. Crowd enjoyed it. Crowd was chanting Buddy. I mean, even Jim Ross, which I thought was a stupid remark, he's like, the crowd like wants a little Buddy. You know, it's, you know, Buddy doesn't sound very vicious. Seriously, they got to change the first name. I personally think you got to change it. You know, somebody who's in the House of Black Darkness, Buddy! You know, I think of that rap song, My Buddy. Anybody remember that song? Girls on the dance floor, my buddy, buddy. And I think that song is based on his penis. Isn't that song based on the guy's penis, the artist? If you've never heard it, go on YouTube. Just type in My Buddy rap song. It's a very cool hip-hop song. It's old school. My Buddy. So while this is all going down, Tony Khan goes on social media and announces that Buddy is all elite. Good signing. They got to start budgeting time a little bit better because there's a lot of people that disappear and a lot of people don't say nothing about it. This weekend, I think we'll talk a little bit about Brian Pillman Jr. A little follow-up. Remember the conversation we had about 5 weeks ago? It's AEW canceling Brian Pillman Jr. I mean, their push, their storylines have all fizzled out completely. Brian Pillman Jr. put a little statement up this week, which we'll talk about over the weekend. But, you know, you got to read between the lines. I'm not quitting AEW. I signed last July. Well, you read between the lines. Tony Khan doesn't kill any contracts early. So you may not be quitting, but that doesn't mean that Tony Khan is going to use you all that much. So, good debut for Buddy Matthews. Absolutely good debut. I enjoyed it. So now we get the confrontation between Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston. And Chris Jericho's out there. Seems like a couple of security guards. And Chris Jericho cutting promo like Chris Jericho does. Eddie Kingston gets on the mic. I'm not a sports entertainer, Chris. I don't want to be here, Chris. Do me a favor. Hey, TK, put Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander in the ring. This is not a sports entertainment company. My man, go down the block because they were right near Stamford, Connecticut. When he made that remark to make it seem like Chris go to WWE, which obviously Chris Jericho will ultimately go back to WWE. I think we all know that. But he gets loud Eddie chants because Eddie comes off like Eddie is 150% behind AEW. Eddie Kingston's character, which is based on a lot of reality, is that he's not a sports entertainer. You know, but again, if they're going to try to portray that he claims it's not a sports entertainment company, reality check. Reality check, big time. You know, but anyway, Chris Jericho throwing a lot of jabs at Eddie Kingston. When I first saw you, I realized why I never heard of you before because you looked like a jobber. Then anybody notice that instead of mentioning Cody, Chris Jericho says, then I saw your match against what's his name, Cody. And I realized that you were good. I told you that the crowd would get behind you, would love you, you'd be a big baby face, and I was right. And the storyline is that Eddie Kingston got his dream come true. He signed at 38 years old. By the time Chris Jericho was at 38, he was already main eventing pay-per-views, world champion, made millions of dollars, and Eddie Kingston is jealous. You will never be at my level. And Eddie Kingston, you know, which kind of fell flat. The only reason why you main evented those other places because I wasn't there. And I don't have a problem telling a promoter, fuck you. He didn't say fuck you, but I don't have a problem telling a promoter, fuck you, if I don't want to do something. How's about me and you at the pay-per-view? And then Jericho asks Eddie Kingston, did you ever hear of achievophobia? Achievophobia. That's the fear of success. And he mentions that Eddie Kingston, you know, believed in his uncle and his father, who were both failures. And deep down inside, you feel that you're a failure too, and you can't win the big one. And Jericho says in AEW, he is the big one. Not Hangman Page, not Bryan Danielson. He is the big one. The big one! If you win, I will look you in the eye, I will shake your hand, and I will pretty much, Chris Jericho, I'll respect you. Eddie Kingston agrees to the match, but he says, give me that Chris Jericho that bled buckets in Tennessee. And I think he's talking about that match, the Thrill Seekers, that match that Jericho just bled insanely. I mean, if you look it up, you know what I'm talking about. He says, give me that Chris Jericho who's the first AEW champion. Give me the Chris Jericho that Tenryu in War loved. Give me the Chris Jericho that turned WCW upside down. Give me the Chris Jericho that your friend Levesque hated. Because if you don't, I will eat you alive. And that's pretty much how that segment ended. Another fire match. I mean, fire promo back and forth. Sold me on the match. So now we get pretty much, let's be honest, kind of filler for the rest of the night. Ricky Starks beats 10 to qualify for the Face of the Revolution match. Decent match, little quick. Basically, 10 gets the upper hand, hits the discus clothesline, he locks the full Nelson in, but Ricky Starks pulls his mask a little bit sideways, so 10 cannot see. And then Starks hits him with a spear for the win. And then a little bit later on, we get a little backstage promo pre-recorded from Keith Lee. And he has a little confrontation with Ricky Starks. And, you know, Keith Lee doesn't know much of anybody in the match so far, except for Ricky Starks. And Ricky shows up with Powerhouse Hobbs. "Hello, Keith Lee. How are you?" And he tells him to mind his P's and Q's. And we get a brief stare down between Hobbs and Keith Lee. That should be fun. That should definitely be fun. So now we get Jade Cargill retaining the TBS championship against the Bunny. This match was very short. We had a little bit of interference by Matt Hardy and Keenan Ivory Williams, whatever the fuck his name, Mark Sterling, whatever. Basically what happens is Matt Hardy gets on the apron, he tosses the Bunny knuckles, but Mark Sterling throws the title to Jade Cargill. Jade blocks the knuckles with the TBS title. Sterling and Matt Hardy get ejected. The Bunny hits a super kick, but then Jade Cargill reverses it. She hits a finisher. She wins. After the match, Tony Schiavone's about to interview her. She tells her, cut the bullshit, Tony. She's 28-0, soon to be 30-0. Who's next? So now you get a Goldberg chance because of that. Ty Conti comes out. Ty Conti is next for Jade Cargill. They will face each other at Revolution. And Ty Conti, with a little history with the Bunny, she KOs the Bunny, but then is kicked in the face by Jade Cargill. And, you know, short needed to do what it did, you know, but honestly, I think, you know, at this point, you pretty much know what you're getting with Jade Cargill. I'm not saying it was bad, but pretty much it was filler. So now we get the main event. Bryan Danielson defeating Daniel Garcia. To me, because he had to make the announcement with Moxley, you knew this match was going to end a few minutes before 10. I personally thought that this match should have went longer. I don't think they budgeted the time all that well. We had a commercial break during it that kind of really killed a lot of momentum with this match. Daniel Garcia, we know how great that he is. And for the time that this match went on, Daniel Garcia got in a lot of offense, looked good. Ultimately, Bryan Danielson, you know, ends up with the win. And after the match is over, Bryan Danielson, you know, asking the fans if Daniel Garcia was violent enough. Bryan Danielson gets attacked by 2.0. And Moxley's music hits. Moxley makes the save. Daniel Garcia tries to attack Moxley. He gets hit with the paradigm shift. And Bryan Danielson's in the corner holding a chair. And then Bryan Danielson answers Moxley's challenge from last week, and Bryan Danielson says he will face him at Revolution. And when Moxley said, "Before I stand by someone, we have to bleed first. I have to bleed with him first." And Bryan Danielson says that Moxley will be the only one bleeding at the pay-per-view, and he throws the chair on the floor. He says, "I don't need this to make you bleed." And that's how they go off the air. So Moxley... Oh, I'm getting some pops because I said Keenan Ivory Wayans. Yeah, I don't know. First name I thought. But, so we're going to get Moxley. This, I tell you, Revolution is really shaping up as an awesome, awesome card. I mean, you're getting your money's worth on this one. I mean, their pay-per-views are expensive. They are, what, $60 still. But this one, you're really getting your money's worth. I mean, everything from top to bottom. I just wish Hangman Page's worth felt a little bit more because it almost seems like that match against Adam Cole is matter of fact. I personally think we might see the return of Kenny Omega that night. I almost feel that Kenny Omega needs to be instilled in this in some way. I don't know how he is in his road to recovery, but he's been gone for a little while now. So, you know, could he return? Who knows? Who knows? And, you know, good for Brian Danielson as well, online, doing a lot of interviews, you know, kayfabe and pushing some teasing with Sammy Guevara, you know, mocking death matches and Moxley's history and, you know, putting over some young talents in the process. I tell you, Brian Danielson right now on social media, especially on Twitter, I don't go on Twitter, you know, and socialize much anymore, but I do read some people that I don't have muted, and I'm really enjoying Brian Danielson's social media presence right now. He seems to be really into it, and it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. It's too bad that we didn't get that more when he was in WWE. So, Rampage this Friday, we have a contract signing between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. We have Orange Cassidy versus Anthony Bowens in a Face of the Revolution qualifying match. We have another Serena Deeb 5-minute challenge. Remember, that should happen on the pay-per-view, and somebody should make their debut, answer Deeb's challenge, and last the 5 minutes. So we've talked about a few names from Tony Storm to Ember Moon and a few others. You know, I'd be fine with Mia Yim. So, you know, when we get closer to the pay-per-view, we'll talk about that a little more. And Andrade will challenge Sammy Guevara for the TNT Championship. That is for Rampage. Next week on Dynamite, we have the Casino Battle Royale. We have the 6-man tag that we talked about earlier. Adam Cole and Red Dragon versus Hangman Page, John Silver, and Alex Reynolds. And I'm sure they'll announce some more matches during the week. So that was Dynamite tonight. A lot of fun. Let's talk briefly about NXT. NXT yesterday, you know, it was not a bad show. Again, it's developmental. Got to keep that in mind. Not everybody is going to be polished. Some of what we saw, you know, good that they have this level one, this level up show now, because you put people on level up that honestly are not ready for prime time on NXT. Because some of what we saw yesterday, I think some of who we saw yesterday will probably be featured more on Level Up than on NXT for the foreseeable future. And I will tell you a few of those names in a moment. Grayson Waller over LA Knight. Decent match. LA Knight gets the upper hand after the win. We had Senga with a little bit of interference. The Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic kicked off. We had Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray advancing to the next round, defeating Lash Legend and Amari Miller. Oddball couple. I mean, it's obvious we know why WWE is high on Lash Legend because of her size and athleticism, but man, that was kind of hard to watch yesterday. You know, Mari Miller, she's got a ways to go still. And I actually am more into Amari Miller than Lash Legend. But I did get a kick out of Wade Barrett yesterday saying, like, Amari Miller is going places. And I'm like, yeah, if she doesn't, you know, get any better, yeah, she'll be going places. She'll be going to Daly's place. She'll be going to, GCW. She'll be going to other companies. But Lash Legend is just, it's not put together yet. That match yesterday, I saw people writing like, oh, it was decent. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, go back and watch it. I mean, watching Io Shirai trying to sell for Lash Legend was kind of hard to accept. But thank God the match was kept short. Another match, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. This guy, Dante Chen, Mish and I on Patreon yesterday talked about Dante Chen a little bit. He reminds me, his look reminds me a little bit of Sean Waltman before, like he was like 1-2-3 kid. I don't know, just something about him, but I am just not feeling it with Dante Chen. I feel bad about his dad. I feel bad about, you know, the storyline with his injury and everything, but when he cut that promo yesterday, I thought Mackenzie Mitchell was going to start laughing. I thought she was going to start laughing. And you say, when he's talking about revenge, and he will not have a leg to stand on. It was so choreographed. I'm like, I actually, last night, did a Google search on Dante Chen. I said, I got to see this guy's history in the ring. And then what do I see? His history is 6 matches. He's got no history that I could find. So he's still new. I don't know if WWE is going to give him enough time to try to put it together. But honestly, they tried to do this sympathy storyline with Duke Hudson, and it fell flat big time. Honestly, I hate to say this, but I wanted to see Dante Chen get his ass kicked yesterday. It has nothing to do with nationality or anybody like that that's going to say anything stupid. But this is, I mean, honestly, there's something about that neck. There's something about that neck, maybe because I used to be called neck fat all the time. So I'm a little sensitive to neck fat. But that guy, I mean, it looks like a turkey. You know the turkey? You know, like that. I don't know what that is. Like, does he have a neck? I mean, and plus, he landed on his head to the second time pretty hard. I don't know if he could tuck his head down all the way. Because look, I brought it up yesterday. You know, when I went to wrestling school and took back bumps, sadly, I learned that my neck was very weak. My neck was very weak because you're supposed to tuck in your neck when you take it. And my head would hit the, I didn't have anywhere near the neck strength that I thought that I had. And I tried tying a rope on a round weight at home and doing this, trying to like strengthen my neck. My neck was extremely weak. But you have to tuck your head in. When I tuck my head in, like if I go down and I look at my, you know, see how small my nuts are, you know, like I'm looking down, I could look all the way down. This guy, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I have anything as a prop, okay? Now, you see what's under his neck. I mean, pretend this is the clump of whatever that's under his neck. How am I supposed to look down? Like when you see him take those bumps in the ring, it looks like he can't tuck his head. I think every time he tries to tuck his head, there's that clump of whatever in his neck. I'm not kidding. That might actually be a little bit of interference. I'm not kidding. It looked scary yesterday. He took that shot on his head. We were talking about it yesterday. So he's new. So I'm willing to give him more time. But honestly, after that yesterday, I don't think he should be on NXT. Put him on Level Up, you know, give him a few more matches, and then reintroduce him. So, anyway, Cameron Grimes over Trick Williams. This is like a little bit to give a win back for Cameron Grimes after losing to Carmelo Hayes. All the talk yesterday, Nikita Lyons making her debut, beating Kayla Inlay. You know, Mish brought out a good point yesterday. I mean, she's been in Women of Wrestling. She's been around. She appeared on 205 Live. We've seen her work before. But because, you know, her boobies are popping out a little bit and she's got like, you know, skin tight outfit and she looked good in the ring. Like I saw all this wild infatuation with her yesterday, almost to a creepy level. But, you know, we've seen her perform before, but she had a great debut. If you're into Nikita Lyons, go check out on WWE's website. They have a little after exclusive footage after her match yesterday. And, you know, very pumped up, very excited. I think she is going to be someone to look out for. And not just because, you know, her physique or anything like that. I mean, she's attractive, but she put on a great performance yesterday. My God, those kicks, those spinning kicks, you don't want to accidentally get hit in the face with that boot. Oh, my God. She's pretty good. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter over Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley in round one of the Dusty Classic. Ivy Nile turned on Tatum after the match, so that, you know, tandem is no longer. We'll probably see them face each other one-on-one in the very near future. After the match was over, Ivy Nile choked her out. And then we get Dolph Ziggler versus Tommaso Ciampa, number one contenders match to take on Bron Breakker. Now, you don't put Dolph Ziggler on NXT for the last couple of weeks just to end up him not facing Bron Breakker. As we said on Monday, I said, don't be surprised if Robert Roode interferes, shows up in NXT. And sure enough, towards the end of the match yesterday, we had a cameraman who kind of screwed up, was supposed to knock out Tommaso Ciampa. I don't even think he hit like his forearm, but he knocked him out with the camera, and he reveals to be Robert Roode. Dolph Ziggler gets the pin. Next week, we have a tag match involving those two. I did like the promo back and forth with Bron Breakker and Dolph Ziggler. And I will repeat myself. This is what we said 2 years ago. This is what we wanted in NXT. Remember 2 years ago? Send somebody from Raw or SmackDown to NXT. Get a little bit of a rub. You know, it's there's no humble pie. It's like, oh my God, I'm being demoted. No, you're fucking helping the people of tomorrow. Because a very young Dolph Ziggler, or even when I saw Robert Roode in NYWC in Long Island here, trust me, Robert Roode in NYWC would have loved to have a veteran star work with him. So these guys, it's for a lot of them, it's optional. They're willing to do this. That's why I give nothing but respect for AJ Styles. I told you all before AJ even revealed it that this was AJ Styles' idea. A lot of these guys, Bryan Danielson, you'll be shocked how much Bryan Danielson is helping people behind the scenes. And he's doing it because he loves pro wrestling. So it was a decent match, but Dolph Ziggler and Bron Breakker, you could see Bron is getting more confident. You know, I liked when Dolph Ziggler said, yeah, you're champion of Orlando. So, but then why does Dolph Ziggler want the title? You know, but it was good. It was a fun episode of NXT yesterday. Before we talk about ratings, non-spoiler. This Friday for NXT Level Up, we have James Drake versus Zion Quinn. We have Saray versus Electra Lopez. And we have Jacket Time versus Joe Gacy and Harland. That starts 10 o'clock p.m. Friday night on Peacock. Next week on NXT, we have Pete Dunne versus Carmelo Hayes for the North American Championship. We have Solo Sikoa and Gunther going at it. And we have Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode versus Tommaso Ciampa and Bron Breakker. I mean, let's be honest. If that would have been on NXT Vengeance Day, people would have been fine with it. So three really, and we got more Dusty Classic matches going down next week. So not a bad episode of NXT. Now, as far as ratings go, Rampage came in at 471,000 viewers. We didn't have SmackDown's rating beforehand, but SmackDown actually went down a little bit this week. Impact, we already talked about. They're stuck in the mud, right back down to 100,000 viewers. And tomorrow we'll know Dynamite's rating. NXT's rating was delayed, so we did not get NXT's rating tonight. Don't be fooled by that 30% increase last week. That's because it was sci-fi. So we got to see, you know, how it affects this week. But Rampage's rating also, do not read too much into Rampage's rating because last week it started at 7 o'clock. And 7 o'clock is not their normal time slot. And that is a case where I guarantee you some people tuned in at 10 o'clock and like, where's Rampage? So some people definitely missed Rampage last week because of the time difference. So Before we start wrapping this up, two other things to mention. This credit goes to Fightful. It has not been officially been reported yet by AEW, but AEW appears to be getting swerved in the very near future that they are signing Shane Strickland, who you knew as Isaiah Swerve Scott. As far as any members of Top Dollar also being signed, no word of that whatsoever. All we heard about is Isaiah Swerve Scott signing a deal with AEW. He will still be able to perform elsewhere. This is not any exclusive deal, but that is a good signing as well. Remember what I have said before, and I will keep repeating it because 99% elsewhere are not. That, yes, AEW's roster is bloated, and I guarantee you tomorrow night, Jason Solomonster and I will be debating that roster because they got a big problem. And I've said this, and a lot of other places haven't, that they have a bloated roster. And all those contracts that are rumored to be non-renewed, that does not address TV at all. It doesn't address TV at all. And I'll tell you why once again, if anybody that's new. Because all of the names that you hear are not going to be renewed by AEW, none of them are on Dynamite. None of them are on Rampage. So if they get released, it doesn't open slots up on Dynamite. And you see what happens. You get a Jay Lethal appearance and he's gone for a month. Keith Lee, oh, because it's a backstage promo, that counts for a week. You see how many times people didn't even realize last year Andrade wrestled, what, two times on Dynamite? I mean, a lot of smoke and mirrors. A lot of these releases do not change the issues with Dynamite, with this bloated roster, because everybody being let go are off TV. So, sure, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But one last thing before we get out of here. You know, we've had recently AJ Styles doing a little bit in NXT to help Grayson Waller a little bit. We have Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode doing a little bit for Bron Breakker. Tommaso Ciampa doesn't need the rub, obviously, but Tommaso Ciampa, you know, they're slowly, you know, getting him to the main roster. Somebody's going to have to fill that void. You need veteran presence in NXT. Know what's interesting? Almost every veteran in NXT is a babyface. Do you think about that? And I'm not talking about old people. Veteran NXT stars are babyfaces. Anybody that's considered old school, black and gold, veteran, been there for a while, almost everybody on the men's side is a babyface. Expect NXT, or WWE, I should say, in the very near future, to do this now for the women's division. You will see a women's wrestler or two from Raw and or SmackDown make an appearance at NXT. Right now you have the Dusty Classic, so it's likely not to happen during the Dusty Classic. I mean, if you look at some of these tag teams, they were thrown together because the tag team division is not strong, obviously. It shouldn't be strong right now. You're trying to build stars for tomorrow. Yes, being in a tag team kind of takes the pressure off of someone because you don't have to be the focus of the entire match. You screw up a little bit, tag out. Take a little breather, clear your head. You know, you get a little bit of a chance of a reprieve, especially if you're teaming up with somebody that has a little bit more experience. But once this Dusty Classic is over, you know, there's going to be some evaluations going on. We talked about the Grizzled Young Veterans. After what happened with the tournament, there ain't nothing going on. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next 2 months with NXT. But expect somebody in the women's division from Raw and SmackDown to be heading over to NXT to give a little bit of a rub as well. So names I'm not throwing out there because I don't want to be wrong. So, but I did hear that they are going to be doing this for the women as well, which will be pretty good. So anyway, the results of the poll, Last week, we talked about Brian Danielson's AEW entrance theme, them adding that auto-tune lyrics to it. And I asked all of you, you know, do you like Brian Danielson's AEW theme with or without lyrics? And the voting was 74% to 26% that you prefer Brian Danielson's song without lyrics. And I agree 100%. Nothing against the performer, nothing against the singer. I'm not saying that she sounds bad, but there was no need to add lyrics to it. And some things are sometimes best left alone. And to me, I thought that was a huge mistake. So, but anyway, we're at an hour and 20 minutes. I am going to wrap this up. So, oh, let me show you something else I forgot to mention. You remember they came out with one for Brian Danielson. They came out with one for Adam Cole. They came out with one for CM Punk that just went nuts online. I think I still have like 20, 25 of those cards left. But if you are interested, AEW and Upper Deck have created a Keith Lee card. This is the latest preview card to come out. It is available now. You could buy it on Upper Deck's website, I believe, for $5.99. Right now, you get the digital card, but within the next 2-3 months, the physical card will be available, and you can purchase your digital version as a printed card. So, well, you got to understand something as far as the picture, Soulfly. It's a screenshot from his debut, and he's in the ring. So a lot of wrestlers, when they make a debut, they don't, you know, I mean, yeah, tonight a little bit, you know, we get a little pose from Santana, but you're not going to have Keith Lee debut all intense and then just look at the camera and go, because he knows he's going to, the picture's going to be intended for a card. So this is why, you know, it's not going to be the perfect picture, but still nonetheless, I know some of you out there would probably want to pick this up. So it is available now. It's on Upper Deck's website. And that is it. That is it. So everyone, don't forget, tomorrow night, it's going down at 8.05 p.m. Eastern right here. Jason Solomonster will be joining yours truly. We will have an open discussion. We will talk about probably any news that is going down between today and tomorrow. And if you tune in live, you will help us. You will dictate us. You will put us in the direction of some topics of discussion, some debates that you would like to see us have. Chat will be open all night. Super Chat obviously will be open all night. And speaking of Super Chats, I know I have two or three, well, actually two that I got to get into in a moment. But it'll be open tomorrow. And we'll have a good show. Now, for everybody who sent an advance question, I pulled 6 or 7 from there. And I don't want anybody offended if I didn't pull your question. We pulled questions that we feel that the majority of everybody tuning in wants us to talk about. I know there's a particular question or a topic that you are very curious about, but you know, just because you want the answer doesn't mean that a majority of everybody else tuning in wants that answer. And again, unfortunately for some of you out there, when we said, you know, just very simple, one question or a comment, somebody wrote 4 questions, somebody wrote a long paragraph, and, you know, we just don't have that kind of time. We want to keep it fair for everybody. But before we go out of here, I want to give a special shout out to Bob the Builder. Do I think Punk would have had a better run had he gone to WWE instead of AEW? Why does this look like an old question? You know, believe it or not, somebody asked me this last week, and I'll answer it again. No, I don't think he would have had a better run if he would have went to WWE, because there are so many people ahead of him on the food chain. They may have hyped up an important WrestleMania match for him, but after that, I don't know what they would have done. I mean, if you really think about it, maybe he would have gone up against AJ Styles. maybe Damian Priest, you know, maybe a Cesaro. I mean, there's some great matches. Don't get me wrong. But no, I don't think CM Punk would have been viewed as one, a top five guy in WWE, especially with his history. Even if he's matured, even if he's changed, even if he's, you know, his attitude is completely different, you know, there's still that history there. And I don't think WWE would ever invest that much unless it's a build to WrestleMania. So no, I prefer CM Punk in AEW. I prefer it. I have no problem with it. He's done a great job for a guy that was out for 8 years and coming back. He's not going to be the CM Punk from 10 years ago, but he's good enough. And man, some of those younger guys, you know, they always fantasize doing something with Punk. That lights a fire under their asses as well. You don't think MJF wants this? You don't think that this is going to be personally one of MJF's highlights of his entire career? Even if his career goes another 20 years, this is something huge. I don't know. I mean, you see the fantasy matches of Punk in WWE. I think most of them are more veteran stars. I don't see many young stars of tomorrow going up against Punk. Shout out once again to... Oh, that's a sticker, so I can't see that. Oh, my apologies. But I could mention his name. Rojo Bear, 24. And why is this not updating? Huh. That didn't update. I might have to read it. I might have to, well, actually, it might. Yeah, I may have to read it. Yeah, for some reason, I just got something frozen here, but I could still read it nonetheless. Steve Joseph, do I still see Tony Khan being an on-screen character? Yes, absolutely. Little by little, Tony Khan is working his way onto the camera. And guess what? He has every right to do it. But don't play off that you have never, no intentions, not interested in this and that, because you see it happen on Dark. You see it happen after hours. You see it happen after the TV goes off the air. You see him doing a stunner, a cutter onto Sean Spears. You want to play, you do it in the back. You do it in front of thousands of fans. And look, AEW fans get a kick out of seeing Tony Khan doing that stuff. I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking it. But Tony Khan will be an on-air character. Look, when I used to say Dixie Carter will be an on-air character, people thought I was nuts. I pulled some of those episodes where I said, you mark my words, Dixie Carter is going to be an on-air character, and she is going to be a heel, and people are going to hate it. And it, sure enough, it happened. Because Dixie Carter is not an actress. She may have fallen into love with wrestling, and she may think that she was helping. But, you know, obviously, you could see that a mile away that it was not going to work out all that much. So, Manic Magician with a
super chat.
He is happy that Buddy Matthews is now in AEW. So, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm totally for Isaiah Swerve Scott in AEW, Buddy Matthews in AEW, some other names rumored. But where are you going to put these people? Now, we haven't gotten that massive announcement yet that Tony Khan said on Busted Open Radio. Could still happen this week. But as we talked about over the weekend, and we mentioned it again on Monday, that it could end up that he might be involved financially in another promotion. Now, I thought about EC3 and Braun Strowman's promotion, that maybe as a financial, maybe he'll get involved with that. Because I don't know how the hell these guys, with all due respect, think that a TV deal is going to be anything good. They have no fan base yet. But I will say this, the aura that is building around Control the Narrative, their promotion, it's not being widely received simply because of a lot of the names involved. People think they're anti-vaxxers. You just now added Austin Aries. You have some other names that do not believe in the vaccine. And, you know, you start getting that aura that, you know, you're putting people on there. That, and yes, look, it's your right if you want to be vaccinated or not. I would never force that on anybody. I have an opinion that I think the vaccine is helpful. But there's some things about that promotion that is really getting received big time negative. I don't know if Tony Khan wants to be a part of that. But, you know, hey, what happens if he buys a little financial stake in Ring of Honor? You know, somebody brought up in the comment section yesterday that, hey, too bad Cody wasn't around still. If they needed to do something with Ring of Honor, maybe they could add him involved with that. Personally, I don't think you're going to pay someone $3, $4 million to try to help, you know, make Ring of Honor maybe like a secondary promotion or, the, you know, like a little breathing ground for some AEW stars to get them. I don't think you spend that kind of money. But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, calling themselves an alt-right promotion, you know, that probably doesn't help for a large part of the fan base too. But look, look, you know, people rag on Jericho. I mean, Jericho brought, put a member of the Trump family on his podcast and everybody went nuts on Jericho. Not everybody, but good. But he's still in AEW. You know, there's some people in AEW that, you know, are, you know, they lean Republican. I mean, we don't need to mention any names. I mean, you have that right. But, you know, when you get radical, I think that's where AEW draws the line. So, but yeah, Benjamin, do a little research and you'll see what I'm talking about as far as that promotion. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Again, I repeat it again, tomorrow night, 8:05. Join us right here. And do I have the, no, I don't have the template in front of me, but I made a nice little template for myself and Jason. And like I said, when we go into tomorrow's show, I'm not really putting any notes aside other than maybe one or two topics of discussion, maybe the news of the day. But everybody live tomorrow, you'll help us, you know, form this episode. And I think it's going to be a memorable one. I definitely, I'm looking forward to having some debates with Jason, and it's all respectful. It's all respectful. And it's not about somebody winning a debate or losing a debate. It's just having differences of opinion. And I'm sure we're going to probably have some additional people tuning in tomorrow that probably want to see Jason verbally kick my ass. So we'll see if that happens. But I know we're both looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun show, and it starts tomorrow night live. 8:05 p.m. I hope you could join us. Ciao.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now, that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.